we're back after like taking a week off for the 4th of July.
That's so right.
So I hope everybody enjoyed the best of the Howler last week. I dug way back in the archives.
Did you?
Episode 3 and 4, I think. We put together.
What did I talk about?
Oh, for God's sakes. The one was we were talking about the trouble with policing in a hometown, in your hometown.
Okay.
And I think the one, if I remember right, because I actually listened, was
people are gonna think it's odd. You guys actually listen to your stuff.
I actually listened, yeah. Well, right. I sometimes, yeah. Well, here's the pressure. Okay, when we go dig back in the archives, we have lots of new listeners every week. Okay, and so we wanted, I always want to pick some good representations of the old stuff so that people are inclined, new listeners are inclined to go back and say, hey, because I mean, we're in like 117 episodes of the Howler now. So right, I don't know how many people. Yeah, I don't know how many new people have time to go back and listen to the old episodes. And I know there's one listener that loves, and I'm going to pull this out at some point for one of the best ofs. But the story about the guys grilling on the porch and sneaking around behind the car. So that'll be. I'm going to pull that one out. For a holiday this fall, that'll be because I know there's somebody that wants to loves that one, not as much as the chicken one, not as much as the chickens catching the house on fire.
Right,
that seems to be an all time favorite.
That's almost a sad one, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's it depends. I mean, look, I find it sad that the thought of losing your home and all your possessions in a fire is horrifying. It's horrifying. Right. Now, granted, everybody says, well, everybody got out and everybody's safe, but it's still, I can't imagine standing in the rubble of your house and just everything, like, especially our age, the stuff that we've accumulated over the years.
I don't know. Bring me back to that, but go ahead.
Bring you back to that. Uh-huh. I'm just saying it would be traumatic. I mean, now, granted, the little chicks catching into fire puff balls, that's traumatic for the chicks for a couple seconds, I guess. I hate to sound cold, but, the circle of life for those chicks was, they really probably weren't going to be around that much longer anyway. And, there you go. Does that sound terrible? I think that sounds, maybe it sounds terrible. I don't know. But being on a farm and raising animals, you kind of get numb to a little bit of that stuff.
Well, yeah, but you never burn them at the stake, right? You took a cow off to butcher or something, but you didn't
light
on fire and run through the neighborhood.
In my college days, I got hired for a job one summer for a pig barn that burnt to the ground. Me and my one buddy had to go clean up this pig barn. After it burnt.
Did you just take a bobcat and go in there and scoop everything out?
No. A shovel in our hands. And I'm talking, we had to clean up pigs and all. And you walked up to this place, and of course, so what happened is, after they're trying to put out the fire and there's puddles of water, well, it's full of basically bacon grease. You're working in a big puddle of bacon grease.
And, right.
I mean, there was hundreds of pig. I mean, and my buddy and I just did. I bet the guy expected it to take us a week to clean up this entire pig barn, including getting rid of all the pigs, scrapping all
the wood.
What'd
you do with them all?
We put them, he buried them, okay? But we had to go put them someplace where he could scoop them up with a tractor. And, we had this one old sow. She was so big, okay?
What time of the year was this?
spring. Okay, spring. So it's just cooking.
So were they bloated up hot? Not.
They were getting there, but this we had to find a door that survived the fire and slide it under this. I mean, it's probably 500-600 pound pig. Slide it under this pig, and then my buddy and I, who we played high school basketball, he was 6'5", you know, 260. He's a big dude. So we're like, minus the handles, like, you know, it's like a pig stretcher on a old maple door that we carry, because we couldn't have like grabbed the pig. Number one, it was too heavy, but it was really well done. It was really cooked. And, you know, you kind of sunk into the pig a little bit when with your hands. But I mean, I couldn't look at bacon for months after that.
I don't know. I love
but we got it done in a day, in 2 days, in 2 days. And the guy thought it'd take us a week. He couldn't believe it. So there you go. Back when I worked hard.
I haven't seen anything like that. Now I've seen some. I've only got one, and I'm going to bring my livestock killing tragedies. I worked with a patrolman. It was featured in the front page of the newspaper, the local newspaper. And he was standing. Imagine having an absolute giant sow with a busted back. So, you know, she's down in the back.
Oh, boy.
But she's up on her front feet. About a 400 pounder with her ears forward. So you're getting a picture of her with her mouth open, squealing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was standing kind of spread-legged right next to her with his trooper hat on and a 40 caliber Glock in his hand. And he was about to shoot her in the head. And the front page of the paper said, mercy killing. And it was an 18-wheeler load of pigs. It was a pot that tipped over. And the ones that still had their legs ran off into the cornfields, you know what I mean? They could still be out there. But, and then some of them got killed dead right there. And then some of them were in the various stages of tore up. And he was going through there. He was the first guy on the scene. And his, you know, people that, especially, I know we had some foreign listeners. Back in the old days, police loved to shoot wounded deer. You know, police, this don't take us the wrong way. And I know I shouldn't say it nowadays, but police always want to shoot something, right? And back years ago, they always shot the roadkill deer or road wounded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Road wounded pigs. And I had a classmate of mine that a horse trailer tipped over on Interstate 44.
Oh, that's not good.
Yes, and he had some crazy old, and I don't know if they were necessarily high strung. He wasn't a cowboy guy because he grew up in Miami, Florida, but he was an army guy. So when the horses wouldn't listen to him and were running in through the traffic and stuff, you know, and of course now, I don't, on hindsight, you know, Monday morning quarterback in this, you got to turn your red lights and siren off to get them horses to calm down, right?
Probably so, yes.
But the further they chased them, the more cars were running off the road and having accidents trying to, I think one of them actually hit a big horse. So finally he decided he was just going to shoot this horse. And I'm going to tell you, I know we've had a couple summers worth of tragedy here nationally for people. The only thing that I could even imagine. This is pre-internet, pre-camera phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he done that same thing today, like he did in 1997, you blast somebody's quarter horse on the side of the highway, you're going to get some phone calls.
Well, and here's the thing is the people that would be making the phone calls wouldn't be as understanding as the people who probably were dealing with the horse, you know, that deal with horses, because they understand there comes a point in time that for the safety of everybody, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
I looked at it the other way around. right? So like nowadays you shoot the wrong person and they come and burn your police station down. That's whatever. But horse people would come find out where you lived and come after you, maybe. Especially if it was some chick's horse. You know what I mean? You shot some crazy girl. These horse girls are
I gotta be honest.
Right? I better watch it because you've got significant others that listen to this podcast that are horse people. Okay.
You know, horse girls. I don't think you have to shoot a horse to get a crazy girl to come after you. That's just me.
That's exactly right. I mean, you can either sometimes if you ride the horse, it comes after you. Sometimes you don't have to shoot it. Sometimes you pet the wrong horse, they come after you. There's a whole repertoire of crazy that comes after you when these, and I don't want to call them crazy girls, when these passionate livestock.
And it's fitting that we kind of got off on this animal team because our county fair is next week. So we're kind of getting stuff ready as he's, you know, going to be able to.
We just had the county fair.
I got
a friend of mine that's mad about it. Yeah. I told him to be on the fair board so he can straighten it out. And he wants me to get on the fair board. And I don't think I had the threshold to deal with. He's up in arms over they don't have the tractor pull anymore.
Oh, what?
They said the return on investment. They said the insurance for the rodeo was too much, and the insurance was for the tractor pull was too much. So instead, they had a figure eight race, you know, where they take these little crappy cars, and then they had an ATV UTV rodeo thing.
Well, how is a UTV rodeo cheaper insurance than a demolition derby?
That's what he was wanting to know, and I think what the fair board members were trying to say. Now, I don't know if they necessarily. Some of them aren't the most sophisticated people in the world. I know they have the coveted position of being on the fair board, right? But I don't think they done what they were trying to say is I think what they were trying what they meant was when they compare what they the outlay of money for the insurance policy for that versus how much money it brings in, you know, like a profit and loss return on investment would be what it was.
I understand because, you know, I've dealt with some of that stuff
you've been a promoter.
Well, I've been a promoter, and Christy's dad is the treasurer. You know, used to be on the fair board here. Her brother's on the fair board. My grandpa used to be president of the fair board. My stepdad was on something to do with another. I mean, I understand the politics.
I think my buddy's main problem was his dad. Now he's our age, but his dad, who's passed now, donated a lot of this grandstand and a bunch of stuff that they took down to make the demolition derby track bigger. And I think he thought maybe they should have reached out to him and the family and said, hey, we're going to tear all the stuff your dad built.
And
really what kills our fair is we've got a dry town. Okay. So there's no beer at the fair. There's no liquor at the fair.
Well, there's usually not.
So, really? Your fair's not? Where in my hometown, they blow that thing out, man. Are you kidding me?
No, that's just the beer tent at the fair is only something that's happened here the last couple of years. And it's track.
But that's the whole point. And when money's fierce right now, I know we're in the best economy we've ever had. But to some of these people in rural America, they don't have a lot of money. So if they're going to go, so if you have to compete, you know, we had trouble getting the right carnies this year because the carnies were going somewhere else.
And really?
Yes, because they go where the money's at, right?
Well, usually here in Ohio, you know, there's the fairs kind of work together so that they don't overlap one another. I mean, there's 8 right. counties, so you're going to, there's probably any given week, there's 3 or 4 fairs going on, but they keep them
separated enough so you don't poach off enough people.
Yeah, I believe a county that touches another county, they can't have fairs at the same time.
Yes. So anyhow, there's just the attendance was down, everything's down, and there's a bunch of people that blame it on the lack of liquor. Because if they're going to sweat when it's 101 degrees and eat dust, they want to drink.
And so is that something that they're going to
they really will look never. Into? They told me 3 or 4 years ago they would never, ever, ever have liquor at this fair.
Really?
And that's because somebody who's long since dead gave them the money in the 40s to set this thing up. And it's got the term youth fair. It's the county youth fair. And they can't have liquor and youth go hand in hand. So, but really what it is there's competing factions. Like the county I grew up in, the Catholics probably outnumber anybody else. Okay. So they have a little stronger tolerance for drinking than this county where the Catholics are such a minute number that the Protestants, the old Baptists, ain't going to buy a guy to let them have it. Does that make sense? So, you still there?
I'm listening.
So we had silence here, and I thought I upset you. So I think that's probably part of it too. You know, there's just a whole lot of, you know, as my old boss in the government, you said there's a lot of personalities involved, a lot of people with exposure on this, and they all think they know what's right. And they might, you know, who knows? We don't know.
Well, there's always a group of people somewhere that think that they know everything that's right. You know, fair board's no different. It just, and the really fair boards, the dynamics of the fair board is that there's usually a group of people about the same age that get in there and they're there for decades before young people start coming in, and it doesn't, and the young, you know, there's always like a wave of people. There's not like a fair board where there's usually, at least from what I see.
Yes, and that's where I was going with that. First of all, I'm kind of an outsider because I grew up, you know, 20 miles away in the neighboring county. You know what I mean? So they're not really my people. And even though I live here, you know, I'm still kind of an outsider. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And the other part is, and you know this from basketball, and you know, I look at that list and I know maybe two people, and I would probably say some crazy shit that would alienate myself because my brain doesn't operate like them. Okay.
I don't believe that.
They would take my sarcasm as me telling them what a shitty job they're doing, and it's not necessarily the case. It's just, you know what I mean? If I'm going to, it's not that I'm going to change anything necessarily, that I have to say stuff. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. But the thing is when you get into a position like that, you should be saying stuff if you see something wrong, you know? And
yeah, but most of those people don't want anything said to them because,
well, then they're in the wrong spot.
There's a lot of people in the world in the wrong spot. You know, I've been, you know, which is a nice segue into all these poor Dutch farmers. Have you seen any of that?
No. What's going on with the Dutch farmers?
Second person I've said that to today, and the second person didn't know what I was talking about.
I don't. What's going on with the Dutch
farmers? They are protesting. They've shut down the whole Netherlands over the government saying you can't farm anymore because we're gonna regulate greenhouse gases by reducing the amount of livestock we have and the amount of crops we plant.
Really? I didn't hear anything about that. I'm looking here. Police fire on Dutch farmers protesting environmental rules. Wow. No, I had not seen this. I knew now our buddy David Wade's going tomorrow. Wade Jennings is playing at a festival in Norway.
I thought he was going somewhere else.
Well, he was in Liechtenstein a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But Wade and him are going to Norway. Here, they had to make a calculated gamble because the Norwegian Airlines over there, that's in conjunction, I think, with American Air, all the pilots are on strike. So they had to roll the dice that their flight was going to get canceled, buy tickets through another airline to get over there. I think they've got to go to Germany first and lay over in Germany for like 12 hours. But the calculated bet paid off and their flights did get canceled. But see, now it's costing them an extra, I think, $1,200. Now he's making, you know, Way is making, I think, a good chunk of change for the show, for the festival over there. But
lucky him. I wish I could go over there with him and you roadie, but go ahead.
Well, you know, next summer, I think he's going to get to go back to a couple places and they may need, you know, may need a couple merch guys. They asked me to go sell merch in Liechtenstein and I couldn't.
Are you kidding me? And you didn't go? And wait a second, I don't care about that. You didn't ask me to do it?
Well, he ended up taking his son.
Wade. I was going to say, and Wade didn't ask me. He knows I come from a long line of merch sellers.
Well,
listen. That makes me mad. That makes me mad. I come from a long line of merch sellers.
I'll make sure to send him this episode so he can hear how angry you are.
But, yes.
But are no, but I mean, we've discussed it that in the future, you know, we'll, because we've got some other artists I think that we'll end up going over that we know that, you know, probably we would enjoy our help with them over there. Now that Wade's getting kind of the feel for it and stuff. So it's kind of cool. It's really neat to see how in Europe, because Wade, you know, Wade Jennings is Waylon's grandson and he's old school, you know, kind of old school country. Oh, yeah. And just how much they love it. Like that Liechtenstein festival. So the guys, you'll love this. The guys that put that on, the one guy was one of the biggest drug dealers, pimps in Norway. And he's completely reformed. He's a preacher now.
Well, then I wouldn't want to hang out with him if he's ever reformed. He's a preacher. So now he went to the dark side.
He's a preacher.
And now he's went to the dark side.
So in Liechtenstein, they hold this festival in a ski town, which this time of year is totally dead. So their idea was they want to have this country festival and they build this. It's just like a old West town in the middle of the ski village, and it's up for the 4 days of the festival, and they, you know, it takes them a couple days to get it put up. It's up to where everybody walks in, and it's like they're in this old West town, all the a saloon.
Oh man, I should have put on my John Wayne hat and went over and done a stand-up stick or something.
Yeah, and then they got like 4 days to get it torn down after everything's gone. And I think they'll, you know, I think those guys will get invited back and stuff. And they did, they had fun. And so I told Wade, I said, yeah, in the future, as long as I know ahead of time, I can take time off at the post office, I'll go.
Yeah, but I had all kinds of time. I could have just transitioned from France. I could have just stayed over there. I got my rental drove over there.
And Liechtenstein is a really, it's a unique.
Yeah.
And we don't have any listeners in Liechtenstein. You know, we've been adding people. It's a crazy.
Well, they have a monarchy. I noticed they had a monarchy because I was reading about them.
Yeah, and they're the only European country that's completely landlocked. They have no border on water. But it's a very, very wealthy. There's only like 40,000 people there and they're super wealthy. But we don't have any listeners in Liechtenstein, although we added listeners. Now you tell me, now of course, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Slovenia. Okay. Which I'm kind of proud of because I don't know why anybody listens to us from Slovenia, but I know they listen to us for the paranormal. See places like that. I wonder, do they listen to us? Do they listen to me and you? on this part. I can understand, you know, how Bigfoot and ghosts and all that stuff translate across borders, you know. But does us talking about, you know,
pigs, I don't know, maybe we should separate them so we know what's what.
But here's where we started getting listeners in Latvia and Macedonia.
Well, they saw me. They got my, because I said yes to the cookies. They must have my search history that I've been reading about the Greek islands. I watched all the thing on Netflix about Constantinople getting taken over by, I don't even remember who he was. But the fall of the Byzantine Empire. I mean, I've been reading a bunch. You know what I mean? I told my brother maybe yesterday. Who was I talking to yesterday? I don't even know what's today. Is today Monday?
Yeah, today's Monday. As we record this is Monday, not the freaking.
Yeah, I don't even know what day is what. Yeah, who knows? I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know. I had some farm kid make fun of me today. And,
But we got listeners in Peru now, the Czech Republic, Malaysia, Hong Kong, you know, like really India. Like these are all places that we hadn't had listeners.
India's probably my taxi driver from being over there. I mean, I told you I've been there, right?
I think next we keep building, you know, if people keep listening, next year we'll just plan a whole European tour. Why not? We'll go to Liechtenstein or Norway for a music festival, and then we'll just stay over there and we'll just go and we'll set up some meet and greets in all those places.
Well, telling my brother, if I won the Powerball, I'd probably have to just buy a place in Greece or one of them places.
It's a very romantic idea to just, and you've spent a lot of time over there, but in my mind, never having been there, it just seems such a romantic idea to go and live in one of those countries and just be able to travel. And you know, my oldest daughter, she spent part of her school in Italy, did a semester in Italy. My youngest daughter just went to Ireland, I think, with her basketball. She went over there for some. Now I only know. Now it's not like she called me up and told me, because I still haven't talked to her for
quite a while. Had to cyber stalk her to find out.
I had somebody send me the information, but she was in, I think it was Ireland, as part of a international exchange. Like they went and her and some of her teammates from DePaul did some goodwill ambassador type stuff with the kids that wanted to learn basketball. I think it was, and it was in Ireland. It was kind of cool. Kind of cool to see that, you know, and it's neat that she's getting, you know, that basketball is taking her other places around the world, and she gets to go and do something she likes to do and see, you know, parts of the world. You know, that's the stuff that, you know, like your kid is getting, you know, got to go before he shipped off. I never got to do any of that stuff, you know. So
well, that's because we didn't know about it, did you? I mean,
no.
Did you?
Look, if I'd have known about it, I wouldn't be delivering mail. I'd have moved to Nashville or Hollywood.
Yeah, I told somebody that the other day that I would have moved when I was 18, 19, and they look at me like I got two heads.
Well, now everything is at your fingertips. I mean, you can go see, like I think I've said, you know, we're looking at trying to buy a house in the Outer Banks, and we don't have to go down to even see them. They're all, you know, we can see all we need to see, the videos, the, you know, Google Earth, everything. You know, we can pretty much inspect the house without ever stepping foot in it.
Right.
You know? And so it's just like that. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, especially on songwriting, and you hear those guys. The common story is wherever they grew up. So I think everywhere anybody ever grew up, unless it was Chicago, Detroit, New York, you know, a big city, nobody knew that songwriting was a job, you know, that you could do that as a job. I certainly didn't, you know, and I think that, you know, man, how much my life might have been changed. Now, I might not be any good now at it. Who knows? But even back then, I probably would have been much worse. But Man, it would have been nice to get a couple of just album cuts on something back in the late 80s and 90s, you know, that sold a million albums.
Right.
Sure beats delivered mail.
Well, I don't know. I mean.
No, it does. I'm
just think all the friendly people you get to see every day.
You know, I'm torn. You know, I really am. I'm torn.
About all the friendly people?
There are some. I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, and this really nice couple. The guy, lady's retired, and the guy owns a stump removal service here in town. Super nice people. You know, and the lady, she always orders stuff, and she got little yippy dogs, and, you know, so I see them all the time, because I'm always going up to the door, and, you know, the guy's always out and stuff. Well, here the lady went in for, I think, a procedure while I was on, and never made it out. And I just sit
so back. So you still got her mail?
Well, I deliver, today, I'm back, and... You know, I went up to, you know, tell the gentleman and stuff, you know, that I was sorry that his wife had passed, and I ended up talking to the son. But it's like, I just, there's so many people. And if you do a route long enough, you're going to see kids grow up from, I mean, I've been 23 years. I've been on the same parts of the same part of town for 15.
So is it always the ghetto, or is it just something lately?
No. I don't really. I'm not in the ghetto. There's no ghetto in Bucyrus. But I'm saying you see people, you know, that little kid. I've seen little kids grow up, graduate, get married, have their own kids. You know, a lot of old people that you would talk to. Because that's who you talk to. Those are the people that are home, you know, during the day when you're delivering mail. So you get to know them you know, and so I, it's just crazy how you could take a look at a neighborhood and remember it like 10 years ago, how much has changed because the people have, died or moved or whatever. So I don't know. I just,
man, that sounds,
it is
depressing kind of here. This is not where we wanted to go.
It is kind of, I'm sorry.
I'm gonna change the subject to something happier.
Okay.
If you told me we're going to Liechtenstein next year, I want to take Hunter Biden with us.
You're going to take Hunter Biden to Liechtenstein?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading. I mean, have you seen? I mean, that dude, I think Joe's right. He is the smartest guy he knew. Did you see where he spent the $30,000 on hookers in 6 months and then camouflaged it to his medical payments?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, but I love it.
I knew he had.
Hey, this is what he wrote in the one. He wrote on that some of his checks, they were for Blue Water Wellness, the name of a rehab therapy center he used. $3,400. And this is what I want to know. What's a girl do to you to get $3,400 for 5 hours?
I don't know.
Yes, she leaves.
I'm afraid
that's what they always say. They don't pay a hooker for being there. They pay her to leave.
Oh, wow.
Now, as somebody who's been divorced, is that right or wrong? I mean, might be a deal, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, he got off cheap then because it cost me a lot more.
Do what?
It cost
you me got off cheap. 30 grand is cheap, right?
It cost me a lot more to get her to leave. You know, but something tells me that Hunter Biden had a lot more fun.
I can't decide. They got some of the pictures blurred, so I can't make heads or tails of it, but I get so much enjoyment out of it that I'm afraid that I might be going insane. I finally, after, when did I open my pool? April? I finally put my first chemicals in pH tested my pool this week for the first time. So maybe it's the chemicals I used.
Mm-hmm. that's affecting your.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm doing because, yeah. I said, you know, because the right wingers are all saying what an idiot he is. And I'm thinking he must be doing something right. He made all that money, he done all this stuff. And. He's still hanging out. You know what I mean?
Listen. I think when somebody lines up and in a situation like this and says what an idiot he was, I think they're just jealous that they didn't think of it first.
Maybe, or maybe they're just mad. You should go home and smack your old man for not getting elected president. See? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some of these people are too smart for their own good, you know?
Well, I don't know. I know that. And they're Ukrainian girls. This one was a Ukrainian girl. I can't pronounce her name. So he was supporting Ukraine before he was, we should make a country song. He was Ukraine before it was cool.
I don't even know where to begin on that one.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and there was two killed and three wounded in California 7-Elevens. So you know what they're doing? They're giving free Slurpees. Or maybe they got shot getting there for free Slurpee for the 95th anniversary of 7-Eleven stores.
7-Eleven's been around for
7-1-1 stores, as somebody was telling me the other day.
7-1.
They wouldn't have 7-1-1 stores when we were kids. I said, no, they had 7-Eleven. I told them what street. I said, it's such and such street. And they go, no, this ain't 7-Eleven. This is 7-1-1.
And you wonder why? Wonder why we had problems.
No, I don't wonder, buddy. I know. I'm just trying to, you know, every day I just try to stick my head up out of the weeds enough to survive another day. You know,
there's days I don't even get up out of the weeds because I don't want to see what's going on. You know, I'm just going to stick in my little corner.
No, but see, you're still carrying the mail and still helping your fellow human being.
Am I really?
I mean, I get up and wait for the meteor to come take about half of them out.
I did see there is a meteor coming pretty close here.
Not is there?
But I think there always is. You know,
they're close as like a million. Excuse me, they're close as like a million miles, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, and when you're talking about space and stuff, that is pretty close, right?
I, you know what, my tape measure only goes to 25 feet. And when I get it out there, I can't put it back in. So that's so far above my thinking, you know.
Now I think, and we'll just discuss it on air. I think we're going to do for one of our August Patreon episodes. I've been talking to the great Stacy Brown.
Okay.
Florida Skunk Ape.
Yep.
Renowned. And actually, his partner from Outcast Paranormal, he's going to be on one of our episodes here at the end of the month. They did some really cool stuff in Missouri that is going to be shown on YouTube. But anyway,
right.
So Stacy Brown is the last time we had him on the show, made a passing comment about he believed the moon landing was fake.
Okay.
That he had seen the supposed ship, that there was no way that made it, you know, made it to the moon and back, whatever.
What do you mean, no way? Like, he didn't think it could make the journey and back, or what do you
didn't
mean?
He didn't think it could make the journey and stuff. So, what I have proposed is that a no holds barred Patreon episode of you, the judge, and Stacy Brown hashing out I'm going to pick out three or four conspiracies, and we're going to throw them on the table, and we're going to just let you guys pick them apart. You're either going to be
in. I'm in. Why didn't we do it tonight?
Well, because this will take some. We'll have to, me and the judge are going to have to get together probably with the super producer on a mixer board. And so the sound is good, but you know, we'll get it done. So I talked to Stacey's excited. I knew you'd be, I told him, you know, we'd put that together. So I think that'll be an epic, because what we're doing on the Patreon, like we put up the Patreon episode, it was like a 2.5 hour episode that me and the judge talked to this gentleman from Louisiana who had a run-in with a werewolf. Okay. But it was such a long episode. We couldn't put it up as a regular episode. It was just too long. So we decided that was going to be our, as we relaunched our Patreon, that you know, that was going to be what we were going to make available. So we'll have, you know, it may be a 2-hour episode that we all do, but I think it'll be pretty entertaining to get you guys. Right. And I'll just try to referee and stay out of the way a little bit. So I'm trying to pick.
Right.
I'm trying to pick, because obviously the moon landing is one of them. I'm trying to pick 3 or 4 different well-known conspiracy theories, and I might let you guys know a couple of them, so maybe you can do some research if you want. But I just want to put them out there and just have you guys get after it, you know. So I don't know. Having you and the judge and Stacey Brown uncensored on Patreon, it might be an epic battle. It might be like Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut going
at Nathan.
Isn't it Kobayashi, the guy that beat Joey Chestnut in the hot dog? The Japanese dude.
Oh, I don't know. Is that?
he's a little dude that ate, like, you know, he's a little guy versus Joey Chestnut at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
It could have been. I don't know. I was just thinking, what if we convince ourselves that they're all real?
I don't know. I am super interested in hearing everybody's take on the moon landing. I really am. So, because I've heard, obviously we both grew up as the whole world thinking that it was real. Like, why would we even question it? But I have heard some very convincing people make their case why it's not real and how it could have been faked. So, I'm eager to kind of get into some of that and bring out a couple other possible conspiracy theories and see what you guys all think about.
So, right. Well, I've actually been to Roswell, you know.
Really?
Oh, come on. You knew that.
Did you send me pictures?
A picture of what?
From Roswell.
No, but I've been there. You've been there too? I've been there 10 times, 15 times.
I'm not a world traveler like you. But I'll throw that out there. If any of our listeners got any conspiracy theories that they...
On the moon landing.
Well, any other conspiracy theories they want us to throw around. You know? Lay to rest. Send it to us. So... Well, before we sign off, did we get to everything that you wanted to talk
about? I don't remember what I wanted to talk about. You know what I mean? My head hurt so bad. I was...
from being asked to be on the fair board?
No, I'm the fair's over now, so I won't worry about it until next year. You know, I went back to my home. I spent almost my whole day in my hometown. I went into the bar... Not to talk about bars here. There was a bar called Dave's when I was a kid, and I walked into it a while ago for the first time in, I know, at least 14 or 15 years. And, of course, it's all, you know, Dave's dead. I think I told you that in the episode, right? Dave ended up underneath his tractor. It's kind of uppity. I was meeting a friend of mine this morning. Of course, I had my two youngest in tow, and then he had one of his kids. I met him at this machine shop where they're working on his big old diesel dually, doing something to his truck bed. And he told me, well, just meet me out here, and we'll just go to Dave's for lunch. And I thought, well, that'd be nice, and I'll bring my kids out there, and I could say, kids, I used to park my bicycle right there, you know. So went in there, and the place is all, you know, uppity, and But a kid that was about 5 years younger than me in high school, 4 years younger than me, that's good friends. I'm good friends with his cousins, bought my lunch. And then there were some guys with him, some younger guys, and they were trying to figure out how I knew all about all this stuff. Does that make sense? Because I haven't been there. You know, I haven't lived there in 20 years at least. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're of a different generation. Anyway, it was neat, and I ended up getting – I think what did it is I got a guy I went to high school with my old boss. When I worked part-time for him the last couple of years, he bought a brand-new Tesla. So he took turns. We ended up talking over to his office, talking solar power. My buddy's building a 70 by 340 machine shed. And they're going to fill the roof with solar panels to run these, listen to this, run these dryers for the corn bins on solar, if you can believe that.
Okay.
Yeah. And we ended up in my buddy that I brought him over to talk to, anyway, has got a new Tesla. I'm not into Tesla. S3, the fast one. I guess there's, anyway, it was the fastest car I've ever been in. At 11 o'clock, my daughter was in a 69 Chevelle telling me, "Daddy, I want this car." And I was trying to explain to her, they're not economical. They're not near as cool. That's really not leather you're sitting in. That's vinyl. Okay. And then 4 hours later, I'm in a Tesla. She's in the back seat, and my buddy is going from 0 to 60 in like 4 seconds.
Okay.
And there's no downshift. There's no waiting for the four barrel to kick in. It's instantaneously just zoom. I don't know if you've been in one yet.
No.
So I think it's the and then going 20 or 30 miles an hour and punching it. And you know how in a hot rod, you'd have to wait for it to kick down. Whoop, whoop. It's none of that. You instantly catapult from 35 or 40 to 80 instantly. And I think that's what's got my brain wrecked. So then my daughter wanted to drive home. She's got a permit. So I had to ride with a 15-year-old driving down the highway. So between those two things and the heat, heat's hard on fat people. And it was 89, 98 or something today. You know?
Well, just imagine then, fat people in the heat deliver mail. There you go.
Well, hey, that's why I don't deliver the mail. You know?
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.